Hello, and welcome back to yet another episode of Spiritual Elevation. I am Savvy Speaks, the host of the show and the co-pilot of this flight. If you are new here, welcome. Okay, here on Spiritual Elevation, we journey through spiritual principles and discuss on how to effectively walk with Christ. On your left and your right, you'll see false doctrines and theological misunderstandings, but don't worry, we're going to get you out of there. On this flight, you will be pushed to go further, dig deeper, and fly higher. So please expect turbulence, conviction, and repentance, and enjoy the flight. So as you can see, I have a guest here on the show with me. I'm so excited. I've been cheesing since it started. But I'll let her introduce herself in a sec. But I do want to do my due diligence in saying that this girl right here, okay, she is a prayer warrior, okay? She is an author in the making, okay? So you can already see she's profound with her words. She is a powerhouse and overall just a profound human being. I've been inspired through her. Okay, I've just been inspired. She inspires me. Let's just say that. She inspires me. We became friends during COVID. We had a Bible study called Dive In Ministries. It was an online Bible study, and some way, somehow, the Lord just kind of connected us. And since then, we've been doing damage in the kingdom of God. Oh, no, wait, damage for the kingdom of God today.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yes. Go ahead, Miss Taylor. Tell us who you are.
Hi, everyone. My name is Taylor Hunter. I'm a born again, Holy Ghost filled child of God. I've been walking with the Lord for almost 10 years now. And I am also a recent college graduate. I graduated with my bachelor's in psychology, and I'm about to go back to school to get my master's to do Christian counseling.
Period. Okay. So is, I'm just going to ask her a question so y'all can get to know her a little bit. But did you always want to get into psychology and become a Christian counselor?
Absolutely not. To be honest with you, my choice of career, it was completely different. I was going to go to school to be a mortician, actually. And then as I was preparing to literally submit the application, God was like, go to school for counseling. And I was like, okay, I just went with it. But honestly, that was one of the best interventions, but also best decisions I made.
Okay, well, hold up. First of all, God of the last minute. So mortician, so there are a lot of people who are just like, what is a mortician and like, why?
Absolutely. So a mortician is a funeral director. So they'll deal with the deceased from taking them from the morgue to the funeral home, preparing their bodies for either cremation or funeral or whatever, burials, things like that. The reason why I decided to go in that profession originally is because I've always been fascinated with the funeral process, but also had a deep respect for those that did the job. Like, I know most people are like, ew, dead people, I'm not doing that. But I appreciate the fact that there was someone that was taking the time to care for someone else's loved one long after they had passed, and even saw to comforting, giving flowers, and just setting up a program so that their loved one is remembered well. My thing has always been hospitality. I've loved serving people. And God just said to me years ago, you're just going to serve people, one that are living, but also serve people in a different capacity.
Oh, God. Okay. Wow. No, you're better than me, because the only dead thing I'll come close to is raising the dead up. Oh, Yadabadosha Tai. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. So a Christian counselor, I'm glad that he was able to even help you with that. And it's actually interesting, because although you're not going to be directly dealing with dead people, you get to deal with people who are dead spiritually and, you know, raise them up in that way. So it's kind of like you still get a little bit of that touch in there. So that's really cool. Okay, so thank you. You guys, if you're wondering more about Taylor, you want to get to know her, we are going to go ahead and get into some topics. And through the conversations, you can get to know her more. And later on, we will share her social media. So we are on a flight, so it's good to know the weather. This is a tradition that we took from Everything Under the Sun. That was when we were under without an E, but you know, now we're Spiritual Elevation. So I'm going to go ahead and share the weather. Currently, I am in Louisville, Kentucky, and the high is 83, the low is 59, but it is hot over here under the sun. So hot on Spiritual Elevation stands for honest, open, and transparent. We're just here to be authentic and to really speak whatever God is putting on our hearts. Now, Taylor's not in Kentucky. She's actually...
Nah.
Where are you at, Taylor?
I'm in McDonough, Georgia.
McDonough, Georgia. What is the weather? What is it giving over there?
It's actually kind of cool today. Our high, I think, is 80, but we have a lot of winds going on. And then our low is about 70, 72. So it's comfortable.
Okay, it's comfortable. It is hot over there.
But it's always hot.
It's honest, open, and transparent over there. But speaking of weather, so we recently just had a hurricane hit, Hurricane Helene, that just hit Florida. And a lot of us in the South actually felt the effects of that hurricane, because not only did it go through Florida, it went through Georgia, it came up to Tennessee, it came up to Kentucky, and I know that it hit South and North Carolina. So if you are someone who has been affected by that, or you know someone who's been affected by that, our prayers go out to you. Taylor, how are you feeling about the hurricane?
My heart honestly is broken for those that have suffered a lot from that. I was talking about it with other believers, even just reading the news reports about how there were people that didn't know that it was going to be as severe as it was. So some people didn't get out in time. Some people just heard the weather alerts that said, oh, you know, stay away from the windows, stay in your houses. But what they didn't know was that the rain was so intense and that so many rivers had overflowed that a lot of people drowned inside their houses because, again, they had the incorrect instructions. So, like I said, I feel bad for those people and their families and all who have experienced loss, not just the death of a loved one, but the loss of a property. There are some people out there that I'm sure have invested in some really amazing things, but the hurricane washed all those things away. As for me, by the grace of God, my family and I only experienced just a lot of rain, but we didn't experience any damages. But I do know, outside of my home, we did have trees that did fall, houses that did experience property and trees that fell on them. So even though I didn't experience the tough, I guess, effects of the hurricane, that doesn't negate those that have at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thank God because my family's still in Georgia and they weren't like severely affected. Here in Kentucky, the most that I experienced was like power outage. But yeah, so pretty much that's the most that I've been affected. And so that was that. But I know that there have been a lot of spiritual leaders that have connected the hurricane to many spiritual things in the Bible, or like a sign of the times. It says that in the end days, there are going to be earthquakes and there's going to be, you know, natural disasters. And so, Taylor, what have you heard about, you know, natural disasters in the end times? And what does that say of Hurricane Helene?
I think about scriptures like Matthew 24 that tells us, of course, that these things are coming. But I think that as believers, we still have the tendency to be like, oh, you know, end times are like later in the future, long after we're dead, you know, like that sort of mentality. So when things hit, we're all shook, like it can't happen to us and in our lifetime. The first thing that I thought about with the hurricane was that this was not the enemy. I know some of us like to say that was the devil, but the fact of the matter is that this particular hurricane was not him, but it was the Lord God Almighty executing judgment. Usually when we see in the Bible floods that have occurred, we think, most of us think about in the beginning with the flood that wiped out the earth with Noah. But also, if you continue to read, you'll learn that that is one of the ways that God executes judgment. That's not the only way, but that's one of them. And with that, I've sought the Lord. I'm like, okay, God, like, yeah, the hurricane happened and these things, you know, we had a lot of people that lost their lives and property. So what does this mean for the body? One of the things that came to mind was actually 1 Samuel chapter 5 recently. And it's the story about how the Israelites were beaten by the Philistines. The Philistines took the Ark of God and they took it into the temple of their god, Dagon. The next day they found that their god was face down before the Ark of the Covenant. They're like, okay, that's a little weird. We're just going to set our god back up. But then the day after that, when they went back to the temple, they found that not only was their god face down before the Almighty, but the head and the palms of this god were stricken of one of the things. The other part of that happened in the story was the Lord struck the Philistines with tumors. So I did research on tumors specifically. And if you read the KJV version, which I highly recommend you do that and then use a concordance to translate what the Bible actually meant when it was written. But I learned that tumors were hemorrhoids, but hemorrhoids were not with an H, but with an E, hemorrhoids. And emroids specifically is cancer. If you continue to read on, you learn in verse 9 that God struck the Philistines it says, emroids in their secret places. And if you're like me, I was like, surely you don't mean what I think. You mean, Lord. But did some research. And in fact, God struck the Philistines with prostate cancer. Now, how is this related to, you know, what's going on in our world? But if you go back to their god, Dagon was a fish god. Upper body of a man and lower body of a fish. It's kind of giving merman.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, that's another topic for another day. But nonetheless, they worshiped this god specifically for fertility reasons. So it wasn't a surprise that God struck these Philistines with prostate cancer so that not only could they not reproduce, but also was saying that your God that you serve is nothing compared to me. And then I started thinking like, okay, Lord, like in our world today, especially in America, the gods that we serve are not, I wouldn't say they're not in your face, but we don't ascribe the names to them. They actually are. Like, for example, in our country, there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, we're pro-abortion, pro this, we're pro-women, you know, reproductive rights and that sort of thing. But what many people don't realize is that they're actually sacrificing their babies to a demon called Molech. And you can read about him in the Bible. Highly encourage you if you don't know. That's one of the gods that we serve in our country, unfortunately. I was asking the Lord, okay, so what's the consequence of serving Molech in our country? So he took me to showing me that the reason why women and even men who have like said, you know, that woman can get an abortion or have even some men have even forced women to get abortions for their own reputation's sake. Nonetheless, people sacrifice these children for prosperity, for wealth, for fame, for the convenience of life. God was saying, showing me that if we continue to serve this God, just as we have sacrificed children for these things, God is not only going to strike the wealth, mm-hmm. the prosperity, the comfort of life, but he's also going to strike our land. Our land's going to also suffer from the consequences of worshiping this particular God.
That's really interesting because it brings me to the fact that in 2024, honestly, we can say that we've tasted almost every disaster that the Bible mentions. Because, like, honestly, when I think about it, sometimes I'm like, okay, God, is it hurricaning because it's, you know, hurricane season? Or is it a result of us turning away from you? Now this is your judgment. And mm-hmm. the fact that we even have hurricane seasons, I'm wondering, God, do we habitually sin against you so much that we've now crafted hurricane seasons, like seasons of judgment on us? You know, so it brings me back to that and how we unconsciously submit to idols, how we unconsciously serve gods that we don't even know we're serving. Because like you said, it doesn't look like how it did in the Old Testament, where we're going to shrines and lifting up our hands and like very consciously and intentionally giving honor to deities. But I feel like in this day and age, everything is so subtle. And it's taken its time to get here where it was the blatant obvious. So you don't even know that you're doing it. And there are often times that God has to call me out. And he's like, you are putting so much value on social media right now. You spend hours and hours and hours on this. But you, whenever it comes to reading the Bible, you're extremely tired. And in moments like that, he calls me out and he's like, no, you've made an idol of this thing. And it's so interesting because I'm like, no, God, I'm not worshiping Instagram. I'm not worshiping TikTok. But he's saying the amount of time that you're spending on this is much more time, dedication, money, effort than what you're putting into me. So you are easily idolizing this thing. And so I know a lot of people are probably just like, no, I don't have idols. Like, I'm a Christian. I serve the living God. You know, I go to church, I pray. But can you also kind of break it down a little bit? How do you think it's possible for someone to be Holy Ghost filled, blood bought, but still have idols?
That's a juicy question. I think part of that is failing to recognize what idols look like today in our world. I was reading this book recently about something unrelated, but the lady that wrote the book was explaining how if you go to other countries, like India, for example, their look of idolatry looks like Old Testament, you know, things. You know, at certain times of the day, certain alarms will go off and everyone will bow down and worship whatever deity that they're praising, or they have like physical altars. In America, like you were saying, our altars and our objects of worship look like our phones. It looks like technology. It looks like that boyfriend or that spouse we prayed for, you know, but now we're giving that thing more attention, more honor, more praise than the Most High God. going back to your question about being Holy Ghost filled and still having idols, part of that, like I said, is recognizing what is an idol and what is not, or rather what do we have in our lives that we ascribe to, like, basically just worship over God, yeah. Whatever we give our credence to, but also, actually, I'm gonna pause there.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
But keep going.
Oh yeah, no, I think there's more that we can touch on, because idolatry is such a big thing, and how we mentioned, sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. And I'm constantly reminded that it's easy to idolize anything. Like, we could think like, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church. It's easy to idolize church, idolize ministry, idolize your pastor. And you would think that like, oh no, these are the things of Christ, so of course it's good for me. But anything that you put above Christ then becomes idolatry. And so we almost in ourselves have to build a system where we're constantly going back to God and putting him first constantly. Because like you said, in 2024 in America, it doesn't look like, you know, a loud announcement and everyone's bowing down to their boyfriends or their girlfriends, but it's how we live our everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And even bringing in the topic of worship, a lot of times when we think of the word worship, we think of worship music. Mm-hmm. We think of creating an atmosphere where we lift up our hands, we're crying, we're emotional. But the Bible emphasizes in many areas that worship is your lifestyle. It's how you present yourself to another person. It's how you present Christ. So if your everyday lifestyle is not a reflection of the life, the light that is in you, then what are you exuding? You know, what content are you consuming so much that that's what is flowing out of you? That becomes a thing that you are now worshiping. At some point, you start to lose yourself when you indulge in those pleasures more than you do God. Yeah. So I believe it's very, very, very simple to fall into idolatry. Mm-hmm. And so kind of even bringing it back to the God of Molech and Dagon and even Baal, in 2024, worshiping Molech doesn't look like going to the altar, but it's sacrificing your child for the sake of your own freedom, for the sake of your future, for the sake of whatever it is that you're sacrificing your child on. And it's interesting because a lot of people don't see it like that. They don't see it as, they see it more so as like, I'm incapable of taking care of a child, so I don't even want to bring a child into this world knowing that I won't be able to financially support them, or I just don't have the means and the resources to do so. So they sacrifice their child on this altar so that they can continue to live in their freedom, so that they can continue to be comfortable. So I don't know. I just wanted to add that to what you said about the God of Molech and how that ties to abortion.
I heard this from another prophetess not too long ago, but she was explaining how she herself had an abortion. Even after committing her life to the Lord, she was experiencing abdominal pains and didn't understand why until she went to someone else, another believer, that told her, like, the reason why you're experiencing these abdominal pains is because you had an abortion. Mm-hmm. When you lay down on the table, that's an altar at that abortion clinic. When they go into your body and in whatever way they kill that baby, even if you take it as a pill, the fact of the matter is that that baby dies and that blood of that baby is shed. The Bible talks about, if you read, I think it's Genesis chapter 3 and it's in Hebrews 12 that talks about the blood of Abel and how in Genesis 3, his blood cried out against Cain for what he did to him. Abel was innocent. And then if you read in Hebrews 12, it talks about how the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So with idolatry, with specifically dealing with Molech, what a lot of people don't realize is, in addition to sacrificing your baby, what you're doing is that you don't understand is that the blood of that child is crying out against you. It doesn't matter if it was in your womb. The fact of the matter is that you killed it and it's crying out to God day and night. I was wrong. My life was taken from me. My future was taken from me. The life that God called me to live on this earth was snatched from me. What are you going to do about that? And the Bible says in the Old Testament and the New Testament, all throughout scripture, that God is a God of justice. He is the just God, which means when the innocent have been wronged, oh, he's going to do something about that. Mm-hmm. So as people are like, you know, my body, my choice, it's like, okay, that's, you can continue to believe that ideology, but please understand, you're not saying, the people that are saying these things are not saying that about the babies that they're murdering, are they? They're not saying my baby, my choice. They're not choosing their baby. They're choosing themselves. And God's like, okay, well, I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm going to execute judgment. I'm going to do something about that.
And even in saying that, because I know there's going to be a lot of people watching this, some who have committed abortions, some who are probably thinking about it, and some who are like, oh, I would never do that. Regardless mm-hmm. of your case, there is grace. I want yes. to say, I don't want us to sit here and sound like we are judging anyone for any decision not that they all. Made, because the Lord has grace, and so do we. So we are mm-hmm. we are in no position to judge you for what you have done. But we just want to emphasize the spiritual principles that come with this, that no one is going to tell you, because you can go to an abortion clinic and they will help you. They would be nice and sweet in helping you do so, but they don't tell you about the spiritual implications. Like, I have personal friends, some that are products of a failed abortion, and they are doing like damage to the kingdom of darkness. Some that were products of rape, and they are so like, they have life and they had that chance to be here. And I probably, hopefully one day I can get them on the podcast. But then there's also people who have committed abortions and they can testify that afterwards, like nobody will talk about this, but the spiritual torment that you go through and the mental torment, the dreams that you encounter, the nightmares, no one talks about those things about after you have an abortion. Most times people are just telling you, fight for your body, fight for your freedom, fight for women's rights. But it's like there are spiritual implications that come with that. The Lord may show you favor. He may show you grace, maybe reduce your sentence for whatever it is. But whenever you do something that is considered wicked in the eyes of the Lord or considered evil in the eyes of the Lord, there's a natural process of consequence that will come with that. And so it doesn't exempt you if it's abortion, doesn't exempt you if it's murder, if it doesn't exempt you if it's cheating on your exam, you know? So I just do feel like we need to recognize that, yes, there is grace, but there are also spiritual principles that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to comment on that too, just for the women that are listening that have committed abortions, I would recommend you to read Hebrews 12. I forgot what verse it is specifically that talks about how the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So even though what happened.
Yeah.
Please understand that the blood of Jesus is able to cover you and silence the blood of the child that was slain for you. The blood of Jesus is able to cover your sins. It also talks about in Matthew 26, when he did communion, how the blood of Jesus, which is the new covenant, was shed for many for the remission of sins. I know if you're like me, if you grew up in the church, you heard the word remission, but didn't understand what that meant. Remission means it's wiped clean. It's as if it never happened. So please understand, when you apply the blood of Jesus to your life, the Lord forgives you. There is mercy. There is grace. Yeah. I heard another prophetess say this recently, but she said mercy triumphs sin. It triumphs the things that you've done wrong, no matter how bad or how severe or how crazy it may seem. Like, God is still faithful. He's still merciful. All you have to do is turn to him, submit, repent, and he will wash it away as if it never happened.
Amen. I mean, we serve a good God. That's the thing about it. Serve a really good God.
Yeah, we do.
I just thank God for the grace that we live in. And the grace that we are under. But I want to even kind of tie that back to what it looks like whenever you put other gods before God, because it is in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And a lot of times whenever we live in a certain way or pretty much serve a lot of these gods unknowingly, we start to take up the character of these gods and idols. So Taylor, can you touch on that a little bit?
Absolutely. For scriptural references, I encourage you guys to read Psalm 115, and I believe it's Isaiah 56 that talks about, it compares idols to the people that worship them. And I can't remember all the words that Psalm 115 encompasses, but it does say in one of the verses how the people, specifically, if you worship these gods, you're just like them. You're deaf, you're dumb, you're mute, you're blind. And I know some of us are like, well, we think that these characteristics are only external, that, oh, if I worship Baal, I'm going to be physically blind. I can't see. But spiritual blindness. Have you ever noticed that when you are on social media or on your phone a lot, your desire to listen to the word of God is missing or is decreased? Your sense of discernment, it seems like it's not as sharp. And that's because you're starting to take on the characteristics of your idol. I know for me, one of the idols that I had in my life wasn't social media. It was actually a person. It was a friend of mine. And over the years, I felt like God was in his mercy, was trying to show me like, hey, like you're committing idolatry. You don't realize that, yes, you're spending all this time with this friend, but you've made this friend in the friendship that you have with them an idol. But even in that, God was like, your identity wasn't even in me. It was in this person. And listen, the humility check that I got from that one was just, it brought me to my knees and realized like, man, God, I didn't understand how, like you said earlier, how easy it is to make an idol out of something, out of somebody. Because I honestly, and part of that was pride too, because I said, you know, I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm reading my Bible daily. I'm in worship. I'm praying in the spirit. There's no way I could have an idol. And the Lord was like, no, you did the whole time. But after removing the idol, God, like I felt like my identity, Lord showed me my identity. And there's no more, not just copying that person, but also like I'm who God has called me to be now. Part of that is understanding, yes, our humanity, but being quick to repent, quick to ask the Lord to refresh us and to cleanse us, because we don't know, either we don't know what we did or we don't understand the severity of what we've done. And I think that's part of the idolatry issue that we have now in our country that's still praised.
That is so true. You mentioned something and it brings me back to when Jesus was on the cross and he says, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. You know, and Stephen, one of the apostles or the disciples of Jesus, whenever he was, before he died, he was praying to God and then they stoned him to death. And he said, forgive them for they know not what they do. Because even the Pharisees, the religious people who thought that they were committing the will of God, they were sinning against God because they thought that they were in the right mind, but they didn't know what they were doing. And so it also just brings me back to Romans, where it says that at some point, humans were so wicked, just doing whatever, that God gave them over to their debased mind. So there are some people who are fully convinced that the lifestyle that they're living is pleasing to God, because we have words nowadays that say, follow your heart. God knows my heart. It's me and God. You know, I don't have to go to church because it's me and God. We know what we're doing. I don't need anyone else's input on how I live in my relationship with Christ. But in 2024, everyone's a Christian. And in this day and age, you could mix your Christianity with witchcraft and you consider that to be of God. But God says, no, do not touch any defiled thing. Do not place your hand on anything that I call evil. But people are not reading their Bibles. They're meditating, they're praying, they're applying spiritual principles, but they don't realize that they are putting other gods before the Lord God. And so I actually want to read Psalm 115.
Verses 1 through 8. And really quickly, you mentioned the eyes again, about like seeing rightly. And I just wanted to say that with spiritual blindness, with not seeing right, part of the problem with idolatry is that when you begin to idolize things that are not of God, your vision is shifted. You can't even see the fact that you're in sin. You can't even see the fact that it's an offense against God. You know, you take up the characteristics of whatever you worship.
Why should the nation say, where now is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. The idols of the nation are silver and gold, and the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot smell. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. Nor can they make a sound with their throats. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. And that really just ties in with what you said. First of all, it started off by saying silver and gold and the work of man's hands. That's America. Like, that's like the underwritings of America. Money, you know, making a name for yourself, reputation, work, staying busy. All of these things have become idols in our lives. And no, they don't have, no, okay, yes, they have eyes and ears, but they cannot operate through sight. They cannot operate through hearing. And so many times we fall into that, where we're working for money, we're chasing the bag, we're doing all these things so we can have multiple incomes, but we don't realize that in doing so, we are leaving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we're pursuing the gods of money, of lust, of greed, and you take on the character of these things. So whenever you take on the character of greed, like you become greedy without even realizing that you're becoming greedy. Whenever And it's so funny because sometimes when you have money, you act a certain way, but when you don't have money, it also brings out a certain character. And I'm convinced that a certain character comes out of you because you now, with your impoverished mentality and mindset, start to operate out of that impoverished mentality and mindset. So you start to cheat people out of things mm-hmm. that, you know, you see yourself as a victim. So you start to think like, okay, well, I need this. And they probably don't. So you get into scamming. You get into doing things where you're like, it's not that big of a deal. But slowly but surely, you're taking on that character of the idol that you were pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we all fall into it.
Mm-hmm. And the remedy to that is humility. And humility, I know the church, humility has looked like, at least shown to me, as just physically bowing down, but your heart needs to be bowed down too. You need to turn your heart over back to the Lord more than anything. Like you were saying earlier, worship is a lifestyle. It is a heart posture. So you can go before the Lord and bow down on your knees. That's wonderful. But if your heart is still attached to that idol that you're worshiping, then you didn't really do anything.
Yeah. That's tea. And also feel like we don't talk about this enough, but some things also really require deliverance.
Yeah, because it does.
When you take on an idol and this idol has made a life, like a living out of your body, like your body's a temple. So when you invite idols into your life, like they're going to rearrange some things in your body to accommodate to what that's they good. Want to do. Oh, Jesus. So the image that's coming into mind is how a lot of people deal with sicknesses and diseases, and they don't realize it's because they housed the demon or they housed an idol that has now shifted your mentality, shifted whatever furniture is in your mind to think a certain way. Now you think everybody's out to get you. Now you always have an attitude. Now you never release because you're just afraid that people are going to talk about you. You build up all of these emotions. You have migraines, you have headaches, you have heart issues because the demon that you house in your body is now changing the way in which you operate. You won't allow the Lord in. You won't allow him into your heart because you can't be vulnerable. You can't let people see that side of you because you're hurt. And because you've chosen not to forgive. Now the Lord can't come and change you from the inside out. So you're mean. You don't even know why people always are afraid of you. You have a mean mug. You have a, what do they call it? An RBF. And you're like, no, that's just my face.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I just got that. Yeah.
People say that's my face, but you don't realize that the spirit that you allowed inside of you has rearranged you from the inside out. Yeah. And so sometimes, yes, it's good to take it to the altar of God. I mean, like, sorry, let me not say sometimes, all the time it's good to take
that's
it to
right.
the altar
of God. That's right.
However, some of the ways we've been idolizing things require deliverance. Like you need hands laid on you so that the demon that is in your body can feel the power of the Holy Spirit, send an electric shock and boom, like take it out of you. Yeah. So that's just I'm using figurative language to describe what that is. But deliverance, honestly speaking, is whenever it's the process of filling you with the Holy Spirit so you can push out whatever demons have been influencing your life. And even in that, it requires a life change. Because the Bible is very specific that whenever you receive deliverance and whatever demons are in your house are chased out, if you don't clean that house, if they come back to it empty, always bringing seven. Oh,
not the fireworks.
The Lord is glad of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But if you do not clean your house, the enemy is going to bring seven times more demons than what it originally had. So as you push out these demons, as you receive deliverance, the Holy Spirit has to fill you up. You have to change your life.
Yeah.
You can't keep doing the same things that you were doing. Because these are the things that the demons have taught you. These are mentalities and actions that the idols have taught you. They taught you to eat up all your feelings. So whenever the Holy Spirit drives out that demon, that ideology, that spirit, he's going to change your eating habits. You can't keep operating in the same way that the idols taught you when the Holy Spirit is now prime, like top tier in your life, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What you were saying too reminds me of a scripture in Proverbs 26:11. It says specifically, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Most of us will be like, I'm not a dog. But the fact of the matter is that we are considered fools in the eyes of God when we choose to go back to the very same things that he has delivered us from. And it's just, I don't know, as I'm saying this, it's a challenge to me because it's like, okay, God, even if I have feelings for this thing, I'm invested. I've spent some time building this thing. Like, it has to come down. I have to make the decision of saying, okay, who's the greater God here? Because I was talking recently about someone, not about, but with someone else earlier this week. We were talking about how there is no third kingdom. It's either the kingdom of God or it's the kingdom of darkness. And then even the Bible too, in the New Testament, talks about how even Jesus was like, you know, either you're going to serve mammon or you're going to serve me. Like, pick which one you're going to do. So if you're going to make the decision to give up an idol, don't be like, okay, I'm giving up my idol. You know what I mean? And keep that one eye open. You pick and give your whole heart to whatever you give it to. We hope and pray it is the Lord God Almighty. Please don't choose whatever it is that was made or created. But I am saying that there, at some point, there comes a point where you have to decide which one's greater.
Yeah. And the Lord always wins. I mean, even with that, I don't know if you want to touch a little bit on deliverance, but I kind of almost want to stay there a little bit, because one of the reasons why I created this podcast was to expose the hidden agendas of the enemy. Because when we are unaware, we operate in certain ways that are contrary to God's word. Mm-hmm. And this is Hosea 4:6, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. There's just a lot of things that we didn't learn in the church, or we didn't learn through reading our scripture, and nobody just taught us. And so we're just living our best lives, and we're so unaware of the way spiritual things impact us. So, I mean, do you have anything to add onto that about like hidden agendas, even when it comes to idolatry, when it comes to being ignorant to the devices of the enemy?
I think two things. The first thing is that our enemy is sneaky. Now, I know I keep referencing the church. For those that don't know, I did grow up in the church. I've been in the church all my life, but it wasn't until 2015 I actually said yes initially to the Lord, and then 2018 I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But with that being said, I grew up with the church lingo. I grew up in the hoopla and the dance shouting. Like, I know it very well. When it came to idolatry, they almost made it seem as if idolatry was something that believers could not be involved in. Mm-hmm. And the only time they called it out is if you did something obvious, like you had sex outside of marriage and now you get a baby, or someone was caught in adultery. Oh, you know, like, obviously you made an idol out of sex, but let's talk about, like we were talking earlier, like, what about you idolize that new car that you prayed for? Mm-hmm. What about you idolizing your pastor? You think that nobody but your pastor can speak the word of God, so much so that you call your pastor more than you call on the word of the God. I mean, that word of the God, you go and get in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Like, that is a problem too. And then you also touched on deliverance as well. And it is possible for Christians to have demons. I know people are like, well, I'm Holy Ghost filled. There's just no way. But going back to the analogy that Sabrina was giving, think about a house, okay? Let's say that this house had an infestation of rats. You didn't know this before you seized the property. You just saw the house, you took it. You bought the house. And now that you've settled into it, now you're dealing with mice that you can't seem to get rid of, because you don't even know you recognize that there's a problem, but you don't know the source of it. Okay, so let's say this house represents you. The mice represents the spirit. You didn't realize what you got yourself into when you started this life. We're all born into sin. There are such things as generational curses. What was in your bloodline before you got there, before you were even a thought, before you were even in your mother's womb? Okay, so if you're a house, let's say you did commit your life to the Lord and now you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That is wonderful. I'm not downplaying that at all. But now that you're filled with the Holy Ghost, please understand our God is holy, and he does not want anything that's not like him in your world, in your life, which means even if you didn't necessarily open the door for that spirit, that does not mean that that spirit is not there. So what do? You allow the Lord to reveal to you, hey, there's something there. Okay, God, dig a little deeper. How did this get here? What is this specifically? And allow him to uproot it and take residence in the area where that demon was. Like you were saying with deliverance, some of those things only come out I think the Bible says in Luke 10, it's the story of when Jesus set free a boy that had epilepsy, and the boy's father was like, I went to your disciples, they couldn't cast this thing out, help me. Jesus does it. The disciples are like, okay, why couldn't we do that? They scratch in their heads, and Jesus said specifically, this kind only comes out through fasting and prayer.
Yeah.
Some things in our bloodlines and in our lives will not be uprooted until we fast, until we pray. And it forces your body into submission, and it allows the Lord to do, not even just do the work, but it allows him to be God over your life, because you're saying, God, I need you to kill the thing that wants to keep me from you. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to ignore the fact that you're fasting. He's not going to ignore the fact that you are going to him to be cleansed and washed in the word of God. So if I had to sum it all up, deliverance is real. Our God does deliver. He does save. Christians can have demons.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the deception too. We believe that we're not, because we're just so holy, because we just read our Bibles, because, you know, our pastors gave us that one prophetic word, that we don't have issues. A lot of us have issues, but don't know what to do about them. Go to the word of God. Read the word, study it, and then sit in prayer. A lot of us are praying and praying and praying and praying, but we're not taking enough time to open up our hands, shut our mouths, and receive what the Lord is saying. He wants to tell you, but quite frankly, we talk too much. Let the Lord speak.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
I wish I had like sound effects so I could do like a nice little snap or clap or something, but... No, you really said like a lot right there, that deliverance is needed for the Christian. I do believe that Christians can have demons.
Mm-hmm.
Because literally, like, that's always the way that I see it, is that your body's a temple, your body's a house. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. When you gave your life to God, he did a nice paint job, okay, cleaned everything. But whenever you come to Christ, there's still more work that has to be done.
Yeah.
You said yes to him. You said yes to the routine cleaning. You said yes to him coming and evaluating and inspecting your house. But that means you also have to be willing to give up the old furniture. You love that furniture.
Right.
That furniture has been there for 15 years. It has rats and worms going through it, but you love it because it's purple and that's your favorite color.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be times where the Holy Spirit is going to come and say, now, baby, I know you love this couch. It's the only thing you know how to sit and rest on, but I'm going to have to change that couch.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be uncomfortable, but I'm going to give you a brand new couch. It's purple. It's purple. So, you know, you're going to like it. I'm going to give you a brand new couch. You're going to have to learn to adjust to it, but I promise you it's going to, when you sit in it, your back is going to feel better.
That's
you're
going
to have better posture. Whenever mm-hmm. you sit in it and dream, you're going to have good dreams. Now, sometimes it's hard to give up certain things because we have emotional attachments to these spirits and to the idols that we've allowed into our lives,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the Holy Spirit is so yeah. dynamic. He knows what you idolize. He knows what you place so highly in your life, and he's willing to bring it down so that yeah. he can receive the glory. Because when he gets to receive the glory from your life, you get to benefit. One of the things that we were talking about in Psalm 115 is that you take on the personality and the characteristics of your idol. Now, God is an idol. I think it's appropriate to say that God is an idol and should be the only idol in your life. But when you surrender yourself to God, you start to take up his character.
Yeah.
And that's why we have the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's a gentleness. I think I did.
No, you didn't say gentleness.
I didn't say gentleness.
Okay, I was waiting. I always skip that one, but go ahead.
Literally, when you start to pursue the Lord wholeheartedly and put him first, these are the things that start to flow out of you. So you're an impatient being. God said, it's okay. Come to me as impatient as
yes.
you are.
Yeah.
Spend time with me. I will make you patient. Come yeah. to me. You are a very rugged and aggressive person, but don't worry. I'm going to allow you to be gentle. He may not strip away that aggressiveness, but he's going to use it for his glory and for his good. All right. You might be like, God, I hate people. I'm an introvert. I don't like nobody. Everybody just sucks. And he's like, I understand. Come mm-hmm. to me and I will show you how to exude love.
Yeah.
And so when you decide to take God seriously, he's going to transform you. That's why it says, come as you are. Come to me and keep coming to me and mm-hmm. I will transform you.
Yeah. Amen. Sure. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Now we're going to take a slight turn.
Take it.
Because, yeah, there was something that we really wanted to hit, and it was because the elections are coming up. It is election season.
Yeah.
If you have not tuned into the previous episode, please do, where I share my personal revelations. Now we only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to introduce this topic by asking you, how does religion influence politics? Yeah. And how can Christians even get involved with politics? Should Christians get involved with politics?
Oh, these are all juicy questions. I love it. All my answers are going to be biblically based because I can't trust myself. I trust only the Holy Ghost. So with that being said, if you look throughout scripture, it's been political from the very beginning. Even when Israel became a nation and went against other nations, that was political. Even in our policies today, when we talk about war, we're asking for our government to make decisions that best fits our country. Political. One. And then when we think about in the Bible how they went from a theocracy to a monarchy, that's a shift. It's a shift in government, but it's still government. It's still politics nonetheless.
Yeah.
I think we need to rearrange politics and ask ourselves, who are the people that are in positions of authority that would dictate my everyday life? This extends outside the country and the future of our country, but who's in positions of authority at my school? At my college, at my job, at my my state, city, like it just keeps going up.
Yeah.
With religion and politics, as it stands right now, it does not take a Christian to see this, but it's very clear that especially in America, politics, who's in government has been influencing the church. When I am fairly convinced that it should have been the other way around from the very beginning. There's a policy in place in our country that says people can't pray. They can't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ in the school system. Like those sort of things, that's evident that the Lord God Almighty, we've said, we don't want you here. We want to do what we want to do. But what we don't realize is when we make the decision to do what we want to do, we're inviting the enemy in instead.
Yeah.
So we've partnered with supernatural things, but those supernatural things are not God. That's why we have Molech and Baal and Jezebel running amok in our system, because we have excluded God. We've kicked him out of the place that he should have been in the first place. Now, yeah. As far as believers go, I'm under the belief that we need to, one, get involved. That means speaking up. That means going to those state, city meetings and hear what the policies are, because many of us don't know what's going on in the political sphere, who's making decisions. And then we want to get upset when like, what? Where did this policy come from? Now this is a mandate? It's like, but you have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to check it before it grew to the extent that it has.
Yeah.
Right. So also with that, I say all this to say, if I had to sum it all up, is that God should have never been kicked out of politics. He created the world. He's a God of order. He established these very things that we have told him, you don't belong here. And like, how dare the creation say to the creator, yeah, you don't belong in this earth that you blessed us with, that you prepared for us before we even got here.
Yeah.
Like how selfish, how disrespectful, how lack of reverence we have been towards God.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hold on, I'm just letting it marinate. Because there is the separation of church and state that literally is a letter to God saying, get out of our politics. Let us decide for ourselves how we want to live our lives. Let us make decisions for ourselves without your influence. But whenever, and this is so funny, we don't even though that's on a national scale, that's the position that a lot of us have taken in our hearts. God, I know what you say. I know what your word says, but I want to make this decision for myself. And when you start to put aside the word of God in order to pursue your own passions and your own decisions, that's whenever you start to really, number one, get into idolatry. But number two, you really start to open doors for wickedness. Oh, and I don't know if this was Ezekiel 22 or Matthew 24. But in one of them, I think it was Ezekiel 22, because this is Ezekiel the prophet giving a word to Israel saying, you guys have forgotten your God. You've forgotten your identity. Now you are opening the doors for all of these spirits to come in and take place. And I feel like it's the same for America, where, like you mentioned, all of those gods have been inhibiting this place. Like, that's the system that runs America. And so even with the coming elections, a lot of people, number one, they're not involved in their local system of like politics. They're not involved in the school politics. And so when it comes to the nation's politics, the thing, they're not doing the due diligence of reading the policy for themselves. Not even that. They're not taking it back to God. They're not taking it back to God and asking God, okay, so I know what the policies say. I know what the news say, but what do you say?
Right.
And I think one of the things that we lack as Christians is that before we make decisions, we don't take it back to God. We think like, okay, well, I'm just going to make a decision. God, if you're cool, cool. Okay. You're not cool. Okay, cool. And we just live our lives the way that we want to. Yeah. But regardless of whether the government is going to emphasize the separation of church and state, God is going to find his way in. And that is through his believers. That's right. Where we need to stand up and we need to make decisions. And so even in the last episode that I made about the elections, I was saying that the Lord had given me a revelation that his will is for Donald Trump to become president. Now, that is a hugely controversial something, even amongst Christians, because everyone knows like his character is not the greatest. He has very bad character. He be saying stuff that is like, now, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
like, come on, man. Even the Christians that are trying to vote for him for the policies and not for who he is. It's like, man, you're making it real hard for me to even vote for these policies.
Yeah.
But one thing that the Lord keeps reminding me to remind his Christians is let's put the face aside real quick and look at the policies. Because when Donald Trump is dead and gone, when Kamala Harris is dead and gone, all that is going to stand is what they did for the nation.
That's right.
And the nation is going to carry forth whatever was implemented. Like we sometimes, yes, we know about what Ronald Reagan, we know about him, but we know more about what he did for the nation. And I strongly and truly believe that the Lord was saying that he wants Donald Trump to become president because of the policies that need to be put in place in order for God to do what he wants to do. Not all of the policies. I'm not going to say that God is checking yes to all of Donald Trump's boxes, because I don't agree with that. But I do believe that Donald Trump is in a position where God can use him to set some things in place in America that would at least give reverence to God, to put honor to God, whereby under the Harris administration, it would be placing a big fat trophy of an idol on the Capitol of the United States, where now people, unknowing that they are bowing down to a God, as soon as you hear some type of sound, we're all bowing down to this idol. You don't realize that you're doing it because it's not blatant, but I believe
that's what happens. Yeah. I totally agree with everything that you said. And I also believe that that's also his will. Like you said, like, I'll just be very blunt. Like I've been this whole time, but Kamala does not stand for the word of God. Anybody that postures themselves to kill babies automatically is just not godly. Children are a gift to God. So for someone, a woman, to say, not only do we already have this in our country, but I plan to open the door wider, that to me not only just screams I'm anti-God, but it's honestly gives witch. A woman that practices witchcraft, child sacrifice. We can talk more about that later. Also, for those that are listening and you're like, this is a hard thing that you're saying, you know, you may be totally Kamala because she's Black or because she's a woman. You know, please understand, I'm a Black woman myself, so I understand the appeal to it. But like Sabrina was saying, you cannot look with natural eyes because it's deceiving. You have to look with your spiritual eyes, okay? Also, for those that are struggling with, like, if you're like me, and I also was like, okay, Trump has got a lot going on. It's hard to root for this man.
Yeah.
I would encourage you, I'll say this before I say what I'm about to say. Any issue, all issues that we have in this life can be found in the Bible. It may not be blatant, but that's the point of staying in the Word of God and digging in the scriptures. Because I assure you, the things that we're facing now in our country is not new under the sun. This is not taking God by surprise. He's just making us aware of the urgency of the times that we're living in. With that being said, I would encourage you guys to read as well in the Bible. I can't give you the exact look. Words are hard. I would posit that you should look into King Cyrus in the Old Testament. He shares very similar characteristics to Trump. He was crazy. He had done some things, said some things that even the people of that day were like, yeah, all right, that's a little weird. A little crazy. However, the Lord God still used this man to push policies of God even back then in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So if the same God of the Old Testament gave us a biblical example of a modern day Trump, why are we not going to the Word of God, looking into this, searching the scriptures for ourselves and saying, okay, God, like you were saying earlier, Sabrina, what is the decision? Not based on what I feel, not based upon what I want, not based upon what culture says I should be believing, which I'll also put this little nugget into. As a believer, anytime the world is pushing in one direction, because the world is not godly, they're pushing for anti-God things. So be careful where you give your allegiance. Be careful to what you agree with, because you could be agreeing with the demonic and not realize it, which goes back into check your heart, because you don't want to be blind and deaf and dumb and mute like the idols. Yeah. Clean your heart so that you can see rightly, so that you can hear. Like, this is urgent. Election is coming up, and I think the Lord's hand, I know the Lord's hand is on this, and he's saying, look, I'm pointing this out to you now so that we don't, so that you don't make a dumb decision. You don't make a decision that you will regret, your children will regret mm-hmm. in the future. Last tip, because I felt the Holy Ghost was telling me to say this too, but for those that are still on the fence about Kamala, please understand the killing of babies is not just killing the babies that are for right now. That policy will open the door to kill future generations too. Mm-hmm. So it's a dangerous, dangerous game that Kamala is playing. It's a dangerous policy that's trying to be pushed. So if you are a born again believer of Jesus Christ, do not vote based on what you see, based yep. on what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, and choose his voice over your own.
Amen. Come on. We know it's hard. We wrestle with this ourselves.
Trust. Like, trust.
Yeah. God is in control. And
yes, he is.
I really do thank you for coming on this podcast, Taylor. We touched on so many different things. Taylor, do you have any last words, anything you want to say?
Yeah. I would say, like was said earlier, our God is a God of mercy. Don't think that our God is just full of wrath and he's out to get you, because he's not. All we have to do is confess our sins, repent, which means to turn away from them and commit our lives to the Lord. And if you're already a Christian, be humble before God. Be honest and say, God, I'm noticing that I've been doing X, Y, and Z. I don't know what to do. Please understand that God will, in his mercy and in his grace and his love for us, will tell you, okay, now that you're humble, let me tell you next steps. That might look like going to go get deliverance. That might look like going to Christian counseling so that a counselor can walk you through that trauma that led you to that personality that you have now. Like, God is faithful. He does love you. And he loves us. So continue to pursue him.
Yes. And I think the last thing that I would say is that we tackled a couple of hard topics. And so if you are personally struggling to really understand, like, okay, what is deliverance? Okay, is that the only reason why you're saying I should vote for Trump? What is idolatry? Mm-hmm. Like, please feel free to not only play it back and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, but like, hit us up personally. We have please. Social media. We are so like forthcoming and like nice. I know the Holy Spirit be giving us this aggression, but we're really like sweet and gentle.
I promise.
So Taylor, where can we find you?
You can find me on YouTube and you can find me on Instagram at Taylor Reborn. It's one word. YouTube is up and coming. We literally just wiped out old videos and we're starting fresh.
Okay. So can you, you said Taylor Reborn.
Yes.
Okay, so that's two R's, Taylor and then Reborn.
Yes.
And y'all already know, you can look up Spiritual Elevation on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And you can stay in the loop with my personal social medias on Instagram and TikTok. It is Sabby Speaks. That is S-A-B-B, not V-V-Y, Speaks. But we have landed. So thank you for flying with us here at Spiritual Elevation.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed the flight, come on and let's fly again.
Please
May be. The Lord bless you. May he keep you.
Yeah.
Did we pray before we started? No, we didn't.
No.
Okay. Well, Taylor, would you do us the honors in closing us out, please?
Yes, I can. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for access to your throne, Lord God, and that we get to see your face and that we don't have to clean ourselves up before approaching you, Lord God, but we can approach your throne, Lord God, boldly, confidently, and even as the messes that we are, that you are still merciful and kind. God, we thank you for the word that you gave today through myself and through Sabrina, God, and we just pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you touch every heart and that you touch every ear and every eye that will see, hear, and be associated with this video, this podcast, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And I pray that any heart topic that was hard to swallow, God, you made the throat. So I pray that you would give us the ability to digest and to apply what you have shown us today, oh God. And if there's any confusion, Lord, I just know that you, oh God, who is not the author of confusion, will I pray that you release right now, Lord God, clarity, that you release vision, that you would just speak the truth over your people, oh God, and help us to respond to the urgency of your spirit, to respond well, Lord God. Show us where we should be going. Show us who we should be voting for. Show us how to get involved in government. Show us, Lord God, how to submit and humble ourselves before you and to trust you in every area of our lives. Lord God, so we thank you, we honor you, and ask that you continue to bless this podcast and Sabrina and the work that you're doing through her, Lord God. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you all. See you later.